The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Holy God, we ask that you send your Spirit to rest upon us, to fill our hearts and our minds with the knowledge of what is possible in your love and in your light. Amen. Please be seated. Not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and in jealousy. How was your Thanksgiving? Just saying. Nothing like family. So, I'm assuming all of you know that today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent 1 falls on December 1, so all those Advent calendars that are really just December calendars actually work this year. So it's okay to buy one. Preferably if it's either candy or beer. Have you seen that? There's an Advent calendar that's different beers from around the world. I personally like the Playmobil one if you're looking for a gift. But Advent is an interesting time of the year because it's a really busy time of the year. I don't know about you, but you know, this time of the year, whether you're in school or you're at home, whether you've got a large family or a small family, whether you're professionally in the church or just an active church member, this time of year, things really start to ramp up, Things start moving really, really fast. And then the church gives this super helpful advice. Slow down. Be quiet. Sure. But Advent, we've always kind of traditionally looked at as the preparation, the time of preparation for the coming of the baby Jesus in the Nativity. Which, if you think about it, is kind of weird and silly since it already happened. And two, we talk about it pretty much, or I talk about it pretty much the same way over and over and over again. But I was thinking this Advent, maybe it's about preparation, about something bigger. Not just this symbolic thing that we play out with cute little children in a nativity scene, but about real change coming into the world. Preparing or being prepared to be changed. To be change. Preparation is a funny thing. We like to do it at some level. We just spent Thanksgiving holiday week with my sister and her wife and my son and his wife in Wilmington, North Carolina. And my dad was visiting from Hilton Head, South Carolina, two places that are smack dab in Hurricane Alley. These people know how to prepare. My father has little hooks. They could only be invisible ones. My mother wouldn't allow the tacky ones that you could see. But invisible hooks where they could hang their hurricane shutters down in relatively quick order. My sister's house is the world's most beautiful weather fortress. It's impenetrable and yet so lovely. These people know how to prepare. My sister's wife, Chris, actually has two full house generators and 50 gallons of gasoline to have at a moment's notice. God forbid anything in the refrigerator spoil. But it's not just in places where hurricanes are a problem. Here in the Northeast, we get into preparation as well. Like with this impending storm, which may or may not happen. Because really, as you know, there's only two options. It'll either be worse than they say, or it won't happen at all. But I got a text message while I was driving back from North Carolina yesterday from Dave Donowski. He'd letting me know that he had prepped the snowblower and he had put salt in the canisters because he was going to be away this week and didn't want Leon to have to worry about it. So he had gotten the building ready for the storm. I've got a list of things in my head that I need to do when I get home to also get ready for the storm. One is also prep the snowblower, because why would you possibly do that before the day it actually snows? But more importantly, I got to get all the dog's toys off the driveway so I don't ruin my snowblower. We all have things we need to do to prepare. We even prepare our children, our school children, with lockdown drills and active shooter drills. Think about that for a minute. But it's not just natural disasters and human disasters that we prepare for. We prepare for joyful things as well. We prepare for the arrival of a new baby into a family. We do this in kind of an interesting way. We buy stuff. We buy the crib. We buy diapers that they will grow out of before you get to the second box. We paint the nursery supposedly a week before the baby's born, but 3 weeks after because your wife didn't tell you loud enough that you completely understood when it was supposed to be painted. But that's okay. Not speaking from personal experience. But we prepare for joyful events in our lives. But what's interesting about our preparation for the coming of a new child into the household is while we prepare the stuff, we prepare the environment. We don't usually prepare ourselves about how this event is going to change us, make us something different than we were the day before, at times something completely unrecognizable to the people who have known and loved us for years. What always surprises me that even though I have three children, I was surprised every time that this happened. But we prepare. We prepare around the holiday season. We think about the food that needs to be stocked in the refrigerator, the things that need to be in the freezer. We get together gifts and think about wrapping and all that kind of good stuff. We prepare. But my question for you today is, do we prepare for those things that truly change us? Not that just freak us out for a short period of time. Or those things that are very exciting and different? Do we really prepare to be changed by Christ coming into our lives? Are we prepared to see God in the midst of our daily lives? Now, Matthew presents us with this really, I find it, a strange picture of eschatology, the end of times. You know, two people out in the field, one, poof, the other one still toiling away. Two women grinding wheat, one gone, the other one still grinding away. The rapture is a really interesting thing that I'll be completely honest with you, keep it amongst ourselves. I don't really buy in on it. Not the way that it's presented in Matthew today. There are a whole bunch of reasons why it's presented this way, and I'm not going to get into that with you because, one, it's really, really boring, and two, it's been a really long time since I was in seminary. But I do believe in the coming of Christ. I do believe in God being in the midst of us. Last Sunday, we spoke about the baptismal covenant and all the questions that it entails. And one of my favorite is, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, respecting the dignity of every human being, or loving thy neighbor as thyself? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? To do that, you must recognize the living God amongst us. You must recognize Jesus when he walks into the room in the form of who knows what. Are we preparing? Are we prepared for that daily event? Are we prepared to lend a helping hand to someone in need? Are we prepared to receive that assistance when we're the ones in need? Are we prepared to live out our Christian values in a world so desperately in need? Now, it is my typical sermon to ask a whole bunch of questions and then go sit down. I'll buy you the gift. I'll wrap it for you. I'll even tie maybe a little pretty bow on it. But it's your job to unpack it. But today, I want to give you a little help. So the question is, are we prepared? Are we preparing? The question would then be, how do we do that? Remember that old slogan that I was talking about at the very beginning? It's Advent. Slow down. Be quiet. There's actually something to that. As inane as it may sound in a time of such unbelievable busyness, there's a value in focusing on what's truly important. Prioritizing your busy lives. Looking inward for a minute to see what's in your heart, what's blossoming there within, and what's withering away. To remove the clutter. Or if nothing else, put it in the closet for a little while and shut the door. Shove it under the bed. Whatever you do with clutter that you're not sure if you want to throw it out or not. Just catch your breath and think about what's really vital to you becoming the person God made you to be. What's important in your life? What's filling your life but not fulfilling your life? What's the clutter that needs to just be pushed out of the way? What's the stone in the road that needs to be swept aside? Are we prepared? Are we preparing to be changed? Are we prepared? Are we preparing to be changed? Where I disagree with Matthew is I don't think it's too late. I think every day gives us a new opportunity to open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to Christ amongst us. Yes, that little baby in the manger, but also that full-grown man hanging on the cross and all the stuff that's in between, in the joy of the world and in its anguish. Are we prepared to receive God in our lives? Amen.